Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yes, as they say, let's continue now on part two of the Gemma Jade interview.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Well, that first part was so interesting that I think we needed a part two. So let's continue on with our interesting discussion here. So tell me a little bit about, you had mentioned before about that you may or may continue to have extraterrestrial visitations or things happening around you. Would you mind sharing with us a few of your stories?
Sure. These are memories that I've just started receiving since I started doing crystal work and really focusing my abilities. Because like I said, I had ignored them for so long. I just started activating again about a year ago, immediately going into helping people. So what started happening was when I was younger, I would have these convulsions. I'm talking from like 3 months old up until I was about six, I think the last one was. And the doctors call them febrile seizures or febrile seizures. It's like when your child goes from regular body temperature to like 104.2 in a matter of 10 seconds. It just happens. I would hallucinate things, or I thought I was hallucinating till very recently. So, okay. Again, it was the 80s. So I guess when this happened, the doctors had just, it happened so often, they had just told my father, like, do this, my dad and my mom. But usually it was my dad who did it. He would put me in an ice bath. I would stop shaking. I'd be fine. Then he would take me on a towel, put me on the couch, and get my fever down with cold rags, cold compresses. And I would lay there half in. I remember the first experience that I had. I remember I said to my father, I said, Daddy, look, the stars are in the ceiling. So I guess what happened is, and I see this, I've seen it a couple times in my walkthroughs of people's homes where they have an extraterrestrial, where they've been abducted. I can connect with that entity. So what happened is they were coming in through this portal to where, whatever world they're from.
Right.
And it's very strange because the memory I always had of this, and for some reason, this one seizure stood out, and I've had so many. I was about 6 years old. It was one of the last ones. I'm laying on the couch and my father had said, you know, he was like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And he lifted me up and put me to sleep with him and my mom that night. That was the memory. And that is still to this day, the memory my father has of that night. What I've recently come to realize actually happened was the sky opened up and these four or five beings that we recognize as grays came in on this green light. My father was frozen like in time. They went around me. They didn't scare me. I think I was very sick and very weak. And I was so used to seeing weird things at that time that it phased me, but it didn't. I couldn't react. I was weak. I had just come down from 104 fever. Mm-hmm. So they have their hands over me like this, their long, gnarly, gangly hands, not touching me, but almost kind of like Reiki, like doing energy healing on me. And I saw all of this black coming out of my body and going into their green energy. And then the next thing I know, I wake up in the morning and I'm in my dad's bed, my dad and mom's bed. So I don't have the abduction memory, but I know it's there. Now, more recently, I've been doing a lot of research on extraterrestrials. I've been afraid of them my whole life, and now I know why. Even Star Wars, the mention of outer space would put me in a complete panic. I know why now. Now I have these memories. I was visiting my mother, and my four-year-old son was here with my husband. And where our bed is, there's a window over here, and there's two windows surrounding our bed, small ones. My son said to me, my husband was talking about some kind of weird light in the yard. Now we have like 2 acres. It's a pretty big property. It's all woods. My son said to me, Mommy, he said it on the phone, Mommy, last night there was a big bright light shining down in our yard, and it was the aliens, and they were here for you. But I tried to tell them that you were at grandma's. He's like, but daddy made me go to sleep, and it was here for a long time, and it kept me awake. It was shining through our window. Now, this from my four-year-old, I don't talk about aliens with my four-year-old. I probably should now, because apparently he knows, or he'll see like a thumbnail image of something I'm doing on YouTube, and I'll be like, oh, those are aliens. How does he know that? He watches like PJ Masks.
Right.
So he when did told this me they happen? Were here looking. Gemma, this happened about a month ago.
A month ago?
A month ago. Yeah.
He wasn't abducted in this whole scenario, was he?
I don't know. From that point on, he has been interested in extraterrestrials. Hmm. If I'm working, are you writing about aliens, Mommy? Or like I said, I take several pictures and I choose the best one for my thumbnail. And he's like, oh, I know that alien. And he'll give it a name. You know, that's Joe, the alien, or that's Bleeblo, or these crazy names that sound like he's completely making it up. But at the same time, how does he know even the word alien? What it means. Do you know? My husband doesn't talk about any of this at all, ever. So like a ghost could literally tap him and be like, yo, I'm a ghost. And my husband would be like, yeah, that's great. Like he has no interest in any of it, but my son, like he wouldn't know that, you know, I do believe that he was abducted, and I've had a couple of pregnancies that I've lost throughout the years that were perfectly fine up until there just wasn't a baby. And that's a sad thing to talk about, but I bring it up because they say that that's how the extraterrestrials get the hybrids, is that they will implant them until the time that they can incubate them. So I'm waiting for the visitation where I meet my children, to be honest with you. And I wonder, is that where my abilities came from? Did somewhere long down the line, somebody get abducted and a hybrid and was sent here, and then that's my family lineage? Or did it come from the Fae, which it very well could have, because my mother, though she's terrified of her abilities, she's very powerful. Healer.
My thought is, which I've heard, and I'm not sure, and we may never know. I do believe on one of my shows, I did talk about the fact that a lot of times the marking of an individual, and it can skip throughout the family, comes from your lineage, where, for an example, if someone in your grandparents, great-grandparents, their parents, you know, you go down the line, and then you start, of course, you know, you've got some genes that are from wherever, right? And most of us don't recognize that off the bat. We just think that it's from our two parents, but that's not the way it is. Things can continue to split and split. Now, if somebody back then may have had some kind of either an abduction or may have had an interaction or something where they've got marked, yes, the answer to you is it is very possible that you have a marking within your genetic line, within yourself, and your son carries that gene as well. Now, not always do they all carry that gene. It doesn't necessarily hit every single person in your family. So for example, if you have 3 or 4 siblings, brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean that they all have this too. It just
I have 4 half sisters, none of them have it. I have 5 kids, 2 of them have it.
Right. That's my point. Yeah. Yeah.
And we all have the same, I know a lot of people have beauty marks and birthmarks. I have an interesting one up here, which is where in ancient days, if you had a birthmark right here, you were a witch and they would immediately drown you upon birth.
Oh, so
I do have that mark on the upper left arm behind the elbow. But my son, who has abilities, my 17-year-old, my younger son and my daughter, I'm not sure what she has. She was adopted, but we all have these, you probably can't see because of my makeup, but we all have these two marks in the exact same spot on the exact same side of the face. Like I said, people get beauty marks. People have the same birthmarks, but to have like four of us all having the same exact, and my daughter has a birthmark like mine, only hers is right here and it's super dark, but it's like this, it's bizarre. The birthmarks, it's hard to explain why I feel they're a part of it, but I do. To have that many people with the exact same ones, that's a little off to me.
Well, I do agree with you that there's something to that. Now, anyone who is involved with reincarnation, for an example, now keep in mind that everybody has their theories, all right? So if you were sitting in a room right now and you had somebody here from who's very big into reincarnation, or you've got somebody here who's huge into past lives, but not the same as reincarnation, and this and this and this, you would have the guy from the reincarnation end of it with their theories going, nope, that's a reincarnation, and that happened to so-and-so, and that's a marking, and that's the, you get somebody else with a past life, and let's say you were a soldier in a past life, you got shot, and the bullet, you know, went through your arm in a particular way. No, nope, that's a past life thing here, that she used to be a soldier, and so it grazed her arm, went through it, and that's exactly where the spot. So it depends on who you talk to. That's really, yeah. And not only that, what really is most important here, though, from an intuition standpoint, when if you were to just sit calmly and ask, which is it here? Chances are likely, just as what you've mentioned right now, intuitively, a voice would come inside your head and probably tell you which end it was. It's a past life. It's a reincarnation. It's a this. It's this. It's a witch, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Very
interesting. So I commune with my guides as part of being a physical medium. I speak to my guides and my ancestors, and I commune with them. And it is mine right here is a witch mark.
Interesting.
There's the dimension. If you ask anybody, as far as I've ever heard and known for my whole life, even my guides will not talk about the sixth dimension.
Yeah.
We know about every other one up until what, like the ninth or 10th, but the sixth is like off limits to humans. And I, something with my birthmarks, my spirit guides are like, you'll know when you're supposed to know. I ask them all the time, and you know, there are things they can't tell you. People think when you speak to your spirit guides, you're going to know everything. No. They shut me down all the time. They're like, that's a lesson you need to learn. That's a lesson you'll know when you know. Like I asked about the family of shadow people, like, what are they here for?
Yeah.
They're other, you'll find out. Like, and I wonder, are they extraterrestrial in some form that's the only thing they can appear to me as?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, well, don't know.
Well, if you wanted to see the hat man, apparently one was sitting right next to this. My sister and I went to a small magician theatrical type thing in Las Vegas a couple years ago. And we went to this place, and it was in one of these extremely haunted parts of town. And, you know, used to be, you know, you normally you don't sit around there too late at night, you know, that kind of thing. But this theater was kind of creepy and old and all that. And so I asked the magician's son, who was sitting in the back at the time, if he had noticed anything weird going on. He says, you know, what most people don't realize is that when my dad's up there doing his acts, sometimes there's things that happen that aren't part of the act. You know, it's kind of like some extra thing. And he said that night that I was there and I had turned around, and I have a picture of this. I shot in the corner, and he said, by the way, while you were up there, because I was up there with the floating table and all this sort of thing. But anyway, he said, yeah, I had the Hat Man was sitting right next to me, kind of swaying back and forth and kind of watching what you guys were doing up there. And I wasn't too much afraid of that, but that I did capture something in the exact chair that he was referring to. And I thought, no, this isn't hokey. This is real. And he told me a number of different things that happened while there. Now, you brought up something real, and that's the closest I've come to, like, quote unquote, the Hat Man being in my presence, just based on his ability to see and recognize us.
Now, I could do that. I can see into pictures and people send me videos what's here. So I understand that. Sure.
Yeah. Now, when you talked a little bit about attachments, which I want to talk about just very briefly here. Mm-hmm. I've had several attachments. I have things attached to me all the time. I have things happen to me all the time. I go into different, sometimes I go into trances. Sometimes, you know, when I was in Las Vegas at Zach Bagans Haunted Museum, I was attacked in there. I shut production down for a good 5 to 7 minutes and scared people to death. Yes. Something knocked out my energy, and I basically was just stood there, and all I could hear, people were like in a drum, and they looked like these shadowy people in front of me. And then finally, about 5-7 minutes after that, finally left. But I activated in there. So unfortunately, I can't go in there anymore because I know what it does to me. But but I've had all these types of attachments on me, and I did have some, I guess, perceived or experts take these things off of me. Now, I didn't have the black stuff come out of me, as you were kind of mentioning. What happened is they told me that they would not tell me when they were going to remove this stuff from me. They're doing it from afar. They didn't even have to be next to me. And one night I lifted up about a quarter of the way, and I can't even do a sit-up, so understand that that's remarkable in my sleep. And my mouth opened up, and I was like vomiting out just gobs of air and gobs and it wouldn't stop. And then when it was done, my head just literally fell back and hit the pillow, kind of bounced a little bit, and I just fell back. And I had them on my show the next day, and I said, well, I guess this stuff really does work. But the one attachment I didn't want them to take, of course, was the one where I win all these jackpots, because it's kind of, keep that one. The rest of them can go out the window. Now, tell me a little bit about that. When we're talking about this demonic stuff and everything, mm-hmm. have you ever had, because you're a light beam and everything, how do you keep the attachments from attaching to you?
Okay, so being a Christian witch, like I said, I have to walk a fine line. But mainly, like I said, it's kind of how I keep them from my house. On my property, there's spell jars, black salt, war water. What I do is I do visual exercises. People don't understand that. A lot of people don't. And I don't expect them to, because they don't live this life. But our thoughts, this is where manifestation comes from, are actually things. They're doing studies now where they're putting these hats on these people's heads connected to computers. They're saying, think of a color. Whatever color you think of goes onto the computer. Why? Because your thoughts actually do release. So when I envision myself surrounded in the white light, I call it the light of Jesus Christ, but some witches or some people, I don't even like the word witch because it makes it sound bad. They just put these protective lights, and I say, this is going to stop and protect attachments from attaching to me. Sometimes it doesn't work. Like with the gin I tried to get out of my mom's house, I definitely brought something back with me. I was streaming Wednesday night, and everyone in the stream heard it. There was someone downstairs coughing, knocking, and sneezing. It was a man, which is exactly what was going on at my mom's house. And her house has now slowed down. She was being attacked in her sleep, bruises, handprints. So it doesn't always work. I'm not the most powerful entity on earth. But the attachments I was actually talking about are a little bit different. So you can get these attachments of these spirits, you know, that you bring around with you. But every single person, like the age of 8 or over, has some kind of attachment to them, and it's sucking them dry in some way. If you suffer, and I'm not saying anything about the medical community, so I don't want anyone to perceive that I'm saying the medical community don't take medicine, nothing like that. But what I'm saying is from my viewpoint and my experience, okay? These attachments, you can get one that's for anxiety, and I can see them pop out, and then I know that they're there, burning herbs, doing energy work. I'm very, very new to that, but there's like one or two people that I know of that can do it I can't get them off myself. And you see videos of people vomiting up black jellyfish or hair, bugs, slugs, and people are like, that's fake. It's not. Maybe some of it is. Most of it's not, because that's these attachments coming out of you. And guess what? You've had them pretty much your whole life. Why were you unlucky? Why were you lonely? Why were you this? Is it the cause of everything? No, but it's a cause of a lot of things, and everyone has them, including me. And I don't know anyone that can take them off me. So if you know someone, I would love their information. But there's a little trick I want to teach people. It's very easy to do and very quick. Okay. So when you're out in public, if you're empathic, or if you just seem to draw in people that are negative, what I do, and I give this advice out, and it's worked for many people who've emailed me and told me, I picture myself standing and I'm surrounded by full length mirrors. Okay. From about here all the way down to my feet, but the mirrors are facing outward. Okay. So if I were looking at them, I'd be looking at the back of the mirror. Mm-hmm. They surround my whole body, including the back of me. And I picture them. And when I'm walking and I feel uncomfortable, I picture them in my head. Guess what? Evil really can't look at itself. They will literally, a lower vibrational negative or evil person or entity will literally cross the street to avoid you. If you're going in crowds, I suggest doing this exercise. If you're an empath, I do it. They will avoid you like the plague. No more creepy guy coming up and asking to see your feet, like we were talking about. No more, you know, psycho coming up and stalking you, following you, and you're not sure, like, if you're going to make it in your front door. Put these mirrors up. It's just something easy that any old person can do. Even if you're not empathic, you just think you might be, trust me, it works.
Well, in my life, I'd have to wear one on all four sides of me and walk out, but I don't think
You surround yourself with them.
I don't think the general public or the people in the grocery store would understand me walking in with them, but, you know, but that is, it's very true though. I mean, the thing is that, I am an empath and I am very sensitive. And I know that, like we were talking earlier, where we are, here they come. And it's just like, oh my God.
I could see it on you the second I met you. You didn't even have to tell me. And I that's why I try to help people. And I try to tell them, you know, cords. I talk about cords. Cords are different than attachments, guys. You know, mm-hmm. I just want to help the collective. I was told yesterday by my guides, I finally got my spiritual mission, and that's to open a spiritual retreat. I don't have money for that. Like, I work on YouTube ad revenue and a small business, but I know the universe is going to provide it. So it's things like that. Like, finally got that mission. I'm helping people, and people are being like, oh my God, thank you. You know, that's the mission, you know, but there's so much, and there's so much I don't know, and there's so much I might know, but you know, completely different because of your experience. And that's okay. I don't think anyone's right or wrong. It's just what we're experiencing. How do we know that, like, you know, what I'm experiencing is right and what you're experiencing is right, even if it's two different things? It's so contradictory.
It is, but there's always a common thread. That's mm-hmm. one thing I'm discovering in a lot of this. But it's what's interesting about it, it's not necessarily the same scenario. Right. You can have a common thread and have two different scenarios. Which brings me back just for a moment on the extraterrestrial thing here, because my question to you would be, are you aware at all if you have any kind of implants within you?
I'm not sure, and I would be afraid to go to my doctor and ask, but I can tell you that I think I might. Because after I started getting these repressed memories mm-hmm. and waking up in the middle of the night, like in the wrong spot, I sleep with my 4-year-old. Like, there's an extra queen size bed in my master for my husband to sleep on. Because my son sleeps with me, but I'll wake up, you know, on the wrong side of the bed, or I'll wake up on the couch and I did not. So I know something's happening with me. I think it's behind my right knee. Because I do yoga every morning, 45 minutes to an hour, no problem. I run. I'm not saying I'm athletic, but I'm physically fit to a point. All of a sudden, after I start waking up in all of these weird spots, the back of my knee is swollen up like a golf ball. And it's not water, it's hard. But then 3 days later, the knee pain will be gone, but I can still feel a lump in there. It's like whenever I feel like I'm abducted at night, the knee will be swollen for the next couple of days. And then it'll be a month or two. And then all of a sudden I'm waking up on the couch again for no reason. And the knee is swollen up. So I do believe that it's possible that I do have an implant. And I woke up with chunks of my hair all over the bed one time and went almost bald.
Oh my God.
No explanation. There's still a bald spot. See?
Oh my God.
Never grew back. And that was when all of this started.
You know, the one thing that I do know about a little bit about this is that, if number one, no, you've going to a doctor, keep in mind that they all, just like when you brought up before about the ability to maybe find or deceased apparitions or people come to you and say, this is where I am. Keep in mind that I have a law background. You go to a police station, they have a protocol, okay? And so the thing is, it's like a lot of times people go, well, just go to the police and tell them what you know. It doesn't work like that. First of all, they have a protocol. Secondly, it's not like they haven't heard from psychics coming in there before. But thirdly, they'll turn around and look at you as if you know something about how the person died. All right. So then you got to rule that out. So then you go to the doctor. Okay. And you know, I think I've got something in me. They'll look at you and they'll go, even though technically they know in the back of their head that you're like the 20,000th person that is said to them over the course of their doctoring career, I think I've got something in me. Can I have an MRI or a CAT scan? Unless you have a good reason to have that done, it's not going to happen, or it's going to come right out of your pocket. And then what?
You're going to go and psych.
Yeah. Right.
I know the hospital I usually go to, even for my doctor's appointments, I'll end up, like, they have a psych ward. Like, I will end up there. I'm thinking though about asking when it's swollen, but then I'm afraid they're going to be like, how do we explain it? I don't want to be the focus of negative attention. Yeah. I accidentally was talking with one of my subscribers who is also intuitive, and she has some medium in her too, about where Brian Laundrie was, how he was, where he was, like 2 weeks before they found him. And we were talking about it on a live stream, like, oh, he came to you too. Yeah. He said he was buried. And we were right on. When they found him, people started commenting, how did you guys know? I took the video down.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the focus of any sort of negative attention. I told you guys, like, I had kind of a rough life, wasn't always friendly with the police. And I want to push it out to help. I don't want any kind of negative anything attaching to me.
Well,
suspicion or, you know.
And one thing that you have to realize too is there are, what most people do not realize is that there are a lot of police stations all over that do utilize psychics, but let them come to you. Yes. And so that's the key right there. It's when you go to them, that starts bringing the hairy carry. If they come to you, because I know people, they do missing children all the time, and they've been asked to be on cases, and some are very high profile. I'm going to have a woman on here who is going to be very high profile here in the next few weeks and stuff like that. She just came to me. But the thing about the alien thing, though, or the implant, is that she was telling me a story how she had to have a surgical procedure done, and they discovered something in her, and they couldn't figure out how the heck this thing got in her. And so they're trying to take it out, but the thing would move every time they were trying to grab at it to take it out. The thing was like, literally like, catch me if you can.
Yeah.
And so I saw this on TV, and that's, I can't common. Remember what show. Yeah. Yeah. Even if you've got something in you or whatever, the other thing is, and I was just talking with someone on a show about this too. There was a young child that went to the dentist, and this was on TV, and they showed the x-ray of his, did you shoot yourself accidentally with the BB gun? Because there's a BB-sized bullet that was underneath one of his teeth. Okay, so then they were thinking about, well, maybe we should just go in and take it out. Then they go and they x-ray him again, and it's not there. Then they x-ray him again, and it's there. And oh, so you're going to sit there and dig underneath this kid's tooth to try to get something that, guess what, is probably not going to be there, because it's kind of like, catch me if you
can. That's what's happening with my knee. That's what I was saying. It's like, some days I'm doing yoga and I'm doing all the moves and it's great. And then the next day I can barely do a down dog, which is like the most basic position, because my knee, and that's interesting to hear that, because it feels weird. Like, especially being So uncomfortable with outer space in general, extraterrestrials my whole life. And now coming into this space of, I want contact.
Yeah.
Like I've got the CE5 app, I've got Tektite, Moldavite, Numite, and I have all of the stuff needed to go out and initiate contact. So Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind is human initiation of contact. Mm. And I'll look out the window, I'll go outside and meditate with those crystals and call them to me. I've got to start filming it. But I notice like at night when I'm half asleep, really quickly on the alien thing, I feel like alien is a slur.
I know.
I don't know why I have that in my head. So one night, it was maybe about a week after my son had mentioned that the light was in the yard and I think he might've been taken. I had this insane nightmare where I do believe it was real because my son woke up the next day and said something about these, lizards being in the room.
Oh God.
I was like, oh, you were sleeping, honey. They were holding me down. One was by my throat. The other one was in my face. And I was screaming, don't do that to me. I already suffer enough. I already see the dead. Please stop it. And I was screaming and they just had me like this, not squeezing, just holding me so that I would have to look at the one. And I saw something coming out of my mouth, going into theirs. And then I woke up and my son, he was flat out. And then the next day he's like, mommy, the lizard people were in our room. He thought it was cool. And I was like, oh, honey, you're just sleeping. I'm not going to explain to him about evil reptilians. And I know not all reptilians are evil. I know.
Well, the ones that I know
are. If I'm a hybrid, fey blood or hybrid or gift from the Lord, I don't know. But I know that I help people and I wear it proudly now. The ET stuff scares me because it's unnatural, unknown to me. You know, I know about being a medium. I know the dead, you know, I know when one's near, I know when one's near you. My friend sent me a video, a quick shot of her room to show me her nice pink room that she loves. Yeah. A shadow person was peeking behind the curtain. Like I can see things like that. And I love that. But now all this ET stuff, it's like part of me is so excited and part of me is petrified.
Well, the thing is, if there's anything peeking behind my shoulder while we're doing this, just let me know.
I'll tell you.
The thing is with the extraterrestrial stuff, I mean, you're going to find a lot of different interpretations and also opinions and theories on them. And well, I just had two experts on my show actually yesterday who are very big into that sort of thing. And they take the end of it that ETs are here to help and heal. Now, you ask somebody else and they're going to say, I had a horrendous experience with an ET, da da da. So then, of course, you're going to ask, you should ask, which, not tribe, but which civilization or whatever, which classification were you dealing with? Which classification were you dealing with? So when you're summoning or you're out doing the CE5 stuff, just be a little careful because even though we want to believe that they're here to be friendly and helpful, as you say, with the reptilians, I had a dream with a mantis being in it shortly after I had the handprint show up on my chest. And of course, that and went into not a mini debate, but the ET experts that are going to be on, probably, I'm not sure if it's before you or after you, probably before, proclaimed that it wasn't an ET, but it was more of an incubus type. Not a demonic, but an incubus negative kind of thing. And it's like, you know, whatever it was, they said it just wanted to hang out with me because I've got the beam, you know. But, I wish the beam would just die down a little bit. But
a little bit, right?
Yeah. But just be a little bit careful about that because, even though it just depends on what their reason, there's never going to be an explanation for this. What is the reason for you visiting me? What is the reason for you abducting my son?
Right.
What is the reason for you, hanging around me? What exactly is your reason? Now, again, someone would say, the ones that believe they're here for healers, well, maybe they're here to do some healing. I don't know all the time if they're here for doing healing.
I think it depends. You know, it depends. And the strange thing is, I know this is going to sound weird, but my 4-year-old has not one single feature of me at all. You would not even know I was his mother. Now, I know that some kids look more like one parent. Some kids look like both. My youngest son, like, I don't know. It's in an odd way that he looks so much like his dad. Like if you took his dad and shrunk him down, not he's 4 foot tall at 4 years old. Mm-hmm. There are just some things, you know, that I wonder like what is going on, but that is one of the reasons I haven't done the contact initiation yet, because I do feel like I've been visited by multiple. I feel like I may have hybrid children. I don't know. Like I said, am I a hybrid, or have hybrid blood? Sometimes I think it's Faye because I haven't seen them in a long time since I wrote my book, but when I was little, I used to play with them. So it's just so much that we don't know. And I don't think we'll know in my lifetime, at least. I do see like a future where it's extraterrestrials, humans, and robots all living somewhere. But that's definitely not my future, probably not even my great grandkids, but I do see it. But probably they don't have to answer to me. Do you know what I mean? So
there are people out there that I have met that firmly believe that they are a hybrid. Actually, one of my best, our better friends right now, you know, I don't know if you want to categorize best, but a really close friend, I guess. She wonders sometimes if she hasn't been a hybrid. I met a woman who was actually, this is going to sound really weird and strange, but she was she was taken by, this certain group of, extraterrestrials, aliens, whatever you want to classify them as. And she was in what she called a breeding camp, which is, she was the one doing all the, And she had several hundred, children that apparently she was there for. Now, keep in mind that this, to the average person, to the average listener and watcher of this show right now, would go, oh my God, this is just getting way beyond my comprehension. Yeah, it does get beyond our comprehension. And the reason why it does is because we don't all experience this stuff equally on a daily basis. So when someone brings up something to you that's as extreme or what might sound wacky to you, sometimes there are just a select percentage on this planet that are walking around wondering what the heck is happening to me. Why is this happening? Yes. Yes.
And I get that too. As a Christian, who does service in my church and who goes to church pretty much every Sunday, I've got to say that there is a theory that the ETs just as a collective or a whole, I guess, are going to come in with some kind of technology of free energy. And then, we're going to take it. But in order to get the free energy, you're going to have to get a little chip or something, whatever. And not a religious debate. I'm just saying what the theory is out there in the most of the community is that this is the Book of Revelations coming true with getting the mark of the beast and the beast offering you something that you can't buy, trade, or sell. So I heard that and I was like, whoa, but who am I to say that that's wrong? I have no idea. I have no idea. And the healings that I believed I was getting, you just made a good point. All that black stuff, how do I know it wasn't going into me instead of coming out? Like, you know, I was half out of it. I saw the sky, the roof opening up, which is the weirdest thing is we were on the first floor of a 3-story building. So when the roof opened up, it should have been the guy upstairs, if it was possible, but it wasn't. And I've seen this 3 or 4 times during walkthroughs when people are like, my kid is being attacked in some way. And I did do several, I've watched like, some networks where they always have people talking about extraterrestrials or being a hybrid. And there was a checklist and I did several of them. I came up with like 9 out of 11. But people say that about the Fae too. They're like, you've got to have Fae blood. Look at you. You know, I don't think you can tell. I mean, I guess you can by looking at someone, they say the eyes are bigger. But I did come up with several things from the checklist. But then again, it's like, who makes this checklist? The EDs, you know, you just don't know. And it's very frustrating for me as someone who communicates with guides, angels, ancestors, spirits, and these dang ETs, I just can't pin them down.
Well, you know, I went through a checklist recently and someone had who had been listening to my show had said, are you a starseed child? And I said, what the bejesus is a starseed child, you know? And so I looked up a starseed child and I looked at all of the characteristics and I thought, so keep in mind that I've got a PhD and I pick things apart and I've been in law and all this sort of thing. And so of course, the first thing I'm going to say is, oh, this is a generalized list. Everybody mm-hmm. can go through a list like this and they can pick out at least 5, 10 or 10 traits on this. And they could say, yeah, that's me. But this is something I've known of myself to be different for a long period of time. If you ask my college students, they would say, oh, they either hate me or love me, you know, that kind of thing. But children love me. And I don't have children. I just have nieces and nephews in my life. But the point is that you watch me in a room for a moment, and I'm like the Pied Piper attracting these children over to me, and here they come, and it's like, I don't even know who you are. Where's your mom? Where's your dad? And it's kind of weird. And I'm also a dog whisperer, which is really strange. Yeah, I know. But I've got, you know, I can go to most places and I don't understand. My dog never acts like that, which is friendly or complacent or whatever. And I'm like, I said, that's because I'm a dog whisperer, and I can't explain it. But you do bring up an interesting thing with this fae, and I think this will be our last topic tonight, because I want you to talk about what the fae is and these fairies and stuff that you had brought up that I had heard about on another interview. Very fascinating. So bring us into the world of fae and these fairies and help us out here.
Sure. So I could say how I publicly came about speaking about the fae, and on YouTube, I'm like the fae expert, one of them, right? And the reason for that is because when I was a little girl, there was a place where I live that had something to do with the Revolutionary War, where they still have a lot of the things from the battlefield up. There's this big castle. Obviously, I'm not going to self-disclose and say the name, but it's huge, right? So my dad used to take me up there. It was in a wooded area. And several times I would see fairies, I mean, pixies mm-hmm. and little people, and they would be all around. So I don't know if I walked into a portal, but the main time it happened, the first time I remember, again, same thing with memory. My father and I were up there, and I remember as two little kids, I can't remember if it was one or two. I think it was one little kid at that time came in and said, hey, come play with me. And me being a lonely kid, I was like 4 or 5 years old. I'm like, yes, let's do it. Mm-hmm. I was brought into some sort of portal, which I now recognize as portal. A lot of things were blurred out to me. I couldn't see a lot, but I knew it was like the brightest colors I'd ever seen. And it was so beautiful. And I felt a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. And I was told later on I was being prepared. But anyway, eventually I went back and my dad was flipping out. The cops were there. He said that I had just walked behind a tree to play hide and seek and never come out. And I'd been gone for like 15 minutes. Mm. For me, I had walked into the portal. I was like, ooh, this is really pretty. And the kid that I was with, the little kid, which I know now to be a gnome or a troll, I think a gnome, was like, oh, you're being prepared. You'll be with us soon. And I've had several trips like this, but my father remembers it as a 15-minute ordeal where he had to call the police. I was missing. He thought someone abducted me. So I've always had those thoughts in my head. I've always been interested in the fae. So when I hooked up with Steve Stockton to write for Missing Persons and Mysteries, the channel he narrates for, I said, what about the missing people in the woods, right? All these people going missing in national parks and stuff. I said, I really believe the fae could play a big role in that, because I was looking at the parameters and I'm like, inclement weather, random inclement weather, boulder fields, berry picking. It all matched up to me from what I knew from a lifetime of fae research and knowledge. So I started writing these scripts, the missing in the fae theory, missing in the fae theory, where how the fae fit in. So Beyond the Fae Publishing caught a glimpse of those videos and heard my work and thought Steve had done it. So they're like, hey, can you make a book of this? He's like, no, Gemma Jade did it. So I ended up becoming what I wanted to be when I grew up at 38 years old, an author, which was cool. Mm-hmm. And so it's this theory on how the fae have to do with the missing. But I also talk a lot about the misconceptions of the fae, which are extremely dangerous. Okay. So when most people think fairies, you think Tinkerbell. And there's this Disneyfied version of fae folk or the wee folk, whatever you want to call them. And I got to tell you, there's only one that I know of inherently good species of fae, and that's the brownie. They come in, they really do fix things up in your house at night, and you leave them little treats. other than that, Elf on a Shelf, garden gnomes, those are totems. Fairy gardens are a new thing now. I'm telling you, they're tricksters. They're evil. They're for the most part. And even if they're not that way to you, if another fae who is that way towards humans comes along, they will turn on you. We had these pacts millennia ago with the fae folk, signed in blood, and we've betrayed them. We've cut down their homes. We tossed them about like old rags when there was no more like peasant relationships. Like the peasants used to live in the same homes as the fae. But once we kind of grew out of that, we kind of forgot about them, and they're angry. I would never provoke them. I carry candy and little airplane bottles of whiskey into the woods with me when I go to leave as kind of a peace offering. I have a whole book on it. The book, I'm very proud of the book. I've been told it's fascinating. It's helped people about how to try to not interact with them.
Yeah.
But if you have to, the things that you can do, I told, encounter stories, and it's very interesting if you're interested, if that subject interests you. I mean, obviously I'd recommend my own book, but like I actually would, because it has a lot of info in there. That's not many people are talking about the fae, except, creepy fae encounters and fae in the night. I'm talking about like just regular straight up. This is how they behave. All the species I could think of, I brought up. So
I have a question for you. Yes, of course. And in just a moment here, I'm going to have you tell us the title of your books and all that stuff too. So I think I was watching an interview with you, and you had mentioned something about these fairies, and yes, that there might be a variety of them. Now, most people, when they think about these fairies, think about Ireland and something in the woods there and all that. And so I've been over to Ireland a few times, but I've never gone on any of their tours or trips out into the woods to see the fairies and all that. I always used to think to myself, oh, what a bunch of hokey. But no, it's not hokey. So the thing is, can you describe for people, like, first of all, I think people would want to know, where do these things hang out? Is there a particular state, a country, or whatever? What do you want to start with that? Let's start with that.
I just want to say quickly that I find it fascinating that I find people all the time who have abilities, who are in the paranormal community, who believe in ETs, who have been abducted, but they draw the line.
Little fairies. That's it. That's where I stop.
And I always tell them, give me your address. I'll send you a book, read it, and then get back to me.
Yeah.
But the fae are everywhere. They are interdimensional beings. Bigfoot is an interdimensional being, but he is not a fairy. I've channeled many Bigfoot. So to put that out of your mind. He's a cryptid from the seventh and ninth dimensions. So the fae live throughout the seventh and ninth dimensions, same place Bigfoot does, and they come in and out. But the thing with them is they abduct, okay? They do take us. They do assault women in the woods. They come out as this beautiful kind of Adonis type man, and they'll approach you by water mainly. I'm connected more with the water ones because of my astrological sun sign being Pisces, but like they're each have their own element. Okay, they hang out in any and all woods, and for the most part. Now, if you're dealing with something like a goblin or an ogre who is nothing like Shrek and will literally eat you and give your bones to its child goblin to play with, they're going to be in the woods, but they're very solitary. So they only come together to mate, and then they're on their own. The mother with the, usually actually it's the male that keeps the child, and they kind of break apart. They live in old abandoned institutions, buildings, human built in our dimension for the most part. They hate the other fae as well. The chapter about goblins I called low fae on the totem pole, because they are totally, they're disgusting. They're slovenly. Everything Shrek is, but without it being cute. They're deadly. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the time the people that go missing in the woods had some kind of fae encounter. And I do believe that they were either taken into slavery, taken so that they could be home because they are in fact a changeling, or killed for fun because most of them hate us.
Yeah. Interesting. Now the fairies, of course I was, Jem and I were talking just before the show, I was telling her that I saw on Facebook somebody trying to sell what appeared to be like their fairy skeletons. They actually look like little tiny human beings with wings on them. And unless the person completely just faked those things or created them or made them up and makes people believe that they are what they are, how tall are these things generally?
Okay, so it depends on the species. Pixies are really teeny tiny. So a lot of the times when people see orbs, like as a medium, I can tell what an orb is. Most of the time it's a spirit. It's a fae. That's usually like, and then you have water sprites who are also very tiny, the wood nymphs. But there are some fae, and I couldn't really tell you off the top of my head. I guess a goblin would be one, that are 10, 11, 12 feet tall.
Wow, that's big.
And there are even some that, like extraterrestrial hybrids, appear as human and walk among us. I don't talk about that a lot in my book, but there is a part two eventually coming. They do walk among us, and they mate with males and females. And then, you know, a mother and child go missing, disappear into thin air while out in the woods. Yeah, they went home. She came here and used the male human for the baby. I mean, it does happen. There are cases like the D.R. Koontz case. I'm convinced that was a fae encounter. And I know a lot of people feel very specifically about that case. And I understand that. But from an inside point of view, that screamed fae to me. To be here one moment and gone the next. That doesn't even sound like demonic, because demons want to possess. Shadow people, they want to feed. Animals, there's going to be blood. When you're out with your kid in the woods, especially children under 4 years old, please be careful. They can vanish in an instant because a fae comes, opens a portal, grabs them, closes the portal, and they can do all this by the time you open your eyes from the blink. I had a glimmer man within 100 feet of where I'm sitting right now, a glimmer man encounter, and it was trying to lure my then 2-year-old into the woods with it.
Interesting. Yeah, I did notice that on one of your YouTube videos you were talking about. Give us a little bit of a hint about this glimmer man that you had seen. Where did you see this at?
So I saw it. I live next to natural preserve wildlife, no build land. I'm in the woods. But it was 10 feet from a main road. And I just saw my son, I'll give you the very quick version, was kind of entranced. And I kind of looked and shielded my eyes. And thanks to Missing Person Mysteries, I knew that I was looking at a glimmer man or the predator entity. The cool thing, the interesting thing about that is I never saw the Predator movie, but people are saying that now this thing is becoming more brazen coming up. It wanted my son. I knew intuitively it was trying to lure my son. And if I didn't know what it was, I probably wouldn't have seen it. It was basically invisible. It was shimmering in the sunlight. Mm-hmm. To me, it looked a little bit praying mantis-y by the way it was squatting, but I realized it was squatting like a human. I believe some are government, some are extraterrestrial. The Predator movie is most likely real as far as that entity. And I could talk for hours on how many movies that were made in the 70s, 80s, 60s turned out that it wasn't fake at all. Like, this stuff is really happening, guys. And as a collective, we really need to open our minds and our hearts and shift this. You know, there's a 3D to 5D shift supposedly coming for us sensitives. And I just want everyone to be very aware, because these things sometimes are unseen. And these things sometimes can really hurt you in ways that you'll never even know. You'll just think you're seriously depressed. You'll just think you're randomly thinking of hurting yourself or someone else. You're not. Most likely it's one of these entities. So please protect yourself. Be careful. Learn ways to use crystals, whatever it is you can do. Because I do worry about the collective, man. Like, I worry about us.
Well, and we appreciate just the amount of information that you bring to us here. And on that note, I do want you to tell us about the where we can find them too. Your books, that includes the other one that you were talking about earlier, and the one with Steve, and anything else that you're working on. And then how people can either safely reach out to you or how they can see you, which I know you have YouTube, that type of thing. But give us some details here. We'll start with the books. Okay. So what books are out? Where can they be found? Let's start with that.
So on Amazon, the Kindle and paperback version of Missing the Fae Theory. That's what it's called. Missing the Fae Theory by Gemma Jade. It's from Beyond the Fray Publishing. Then my second book is with Steve Stockton's collaboration. Most of it is my life experiences as a physical medium or those around me. And Steve went in and put some really famous cases like the Amityville case. It's called Encounters with Evil, 101 Terrifying Stories, True Terrifying Stories, sorry. And that's also available on Kindle and paperback on Amazon by Gemma Jade and Steve Stockton. All right. And Steve did do the foreword on that book. It was a bestseller. It went bestseller, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm currently writing a book called Shadow Entities Beyond the Sleep Paralysis Demon, which I hope to have out by September. You can find me on YouTube. I have a channel called Gemma Jade, G-E-M-M-A-J-A-D-E. You'll see my face. There's a couple of us, but I talk about everything extraterrestrial, paranormal, supernatural, demonic. You can get in touch with me at gemmajadeparanormal@gmail.com. I also have a small business that I'm setting up the website currently, so I don't have the information on that. But you can email me. I do manifestation sprays, spell jars, manifestation classes. I read Oracle intuitively, okay, one-on-one through video or remotely. And I just want to say every Wednesday night on my channel, Eastern time from 7:15 to 11:15, so 4 whole hours, if you come in, I will pull a random Oracle card for you and give you an intuitive weekly reading for free. And I do that to bring people in and to show them that, you know, this is real, this is true. I want to help. Come check me out on YouTube. I'd really appreciate it. And email me if you have any questions, if you need any help, if you have any attachments. I will do what I can to help you in any way that I can.
Well, we appreciate that. And I'll make sure that this all gets in the show notes. So in case people zip by this part right here, they can always, the beauty about a pre-recorded television show is that you can always go back and you can always slow it down and stop it. Yep. Right when you need to re-listen to something or rewind it back and start right from the beginning again, because I know that we talked about an awful lot in these two parts. Yes, tonight. But very good information and very interesting. And just if anything learns anything about, and thank you as a wonderful guest, if anybody needs to learn anything, you need to know that there are things that are happening out there. We can't always look behind our back because we'd be marked as paranoid constantly. But the whole idea is when something does unusual happen to you, you don't always discount it. You might want to think twice about what just happened to you, or maybe it's a sign from something, or maybe there's a sign there to just be more cautious about something. But and everybody go and purchase her books. They sound absolutely fascinating. And again, in the late future, we'll have to have you back on because it will be interesting to see, talk to you about your next book and then any books thereafter. So thank you so much. Yep. Thank you so much, Gemma, for being on the show tonight.
Thank you so, so much. I had an amazing time.
Thank you again, Gemma, for being on the show today. For those of you who are new to this program and or are my current listeners, please take a moment and if you might, come and see me on my talk show, Disembodied Voices, which is located on Paraflix, which is www.paraflix.com. And on that website, you will go down to talk shows and there will be Disembodied Voices. Click on that. Several of my guests that you have heard already on the Podomatic and or platforms that you are currently listening on are visually on my talk show. The other places that I need to acknowledge, of course, is ParaX Radio Network, and that's paraxradionetwork.com. And I am playing always on Thursday evenings from 11 o'clock to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. I have been very blessed to have exciting, interesting guests, and of course, whenever there's the possibility of finding somebody new out there, if you would like to be a guest on my show and you have something interesting in your background that you would like the world to know about, please reach me at krschutz1@yahoo.com. And again, thank you so much for your time and thank you, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or ParaX Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, ParaX Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.